It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Second and five. He'll still face that with power, with Henry, with a touchdown. Great call, Tony. His second touchdown of the game.
The Ravens are really good. They are very, very good, especially on offense. The quarterback is headed very likely towards a third MVP season. He's as good as he's ever been. But that game was winnable. If you're a competitor, you don't concede going in that it's okay, that it'll be tolerable if they lose. Afterwards, we can deal with the reality. That's what we're going to do today. Good morning. Denton is here with me. Ben Standing will join us at noon. Lots of rehash between now and then, including your chance to weigh in starting later on in the hour. If you listen to this show via the podcast of this show, rate us and review us if you get a chance, especially on Apple. It's very helpful for us. Give us 5 stars if you think we deserve it and write a quick 1 to 2 sentence review. Literally takes you 60 seconds or less. And it'll help us. Do that. Game take coming up next segment. What I liked, what I didn't like, and yada, yada. And I guess more yada after that. You know, from a playoff standpoint, this is the best kind of loss. It's a loss to an AFC team, so that doesn't hurt you in things like tiebreakers if we get a chance to discuss those later on in the season. It helps you because things like division record and then conference record are more important than anything else. And look, they went on the road as a 7-point underdog and lost to a Super Bowl contending team, a team that is exceptional offensively with right now, I think, the quarterback that is playing the best of any quarterback in the NFL. Although our guy isn't that far off. They were in this game. They were. They just could not get a you-know-what stop on defense. You know, from the end of the first quarter through the rest of the game, three quarters of football, the Ravens didn't get stopped. They just kept possession of the football. Washington's last stop defensively came at the end of the first quarter, and for the rest of the afternoon, Baltimore had their way with them. I mean, it was really easy for the Ravens to move the football up and down the field the rest of the way. I thought and said all last week that this game would be a measuring stick game, even though Dan Quinn, you know, pushed back on that. You know, these coaches, and it's the right way to handle it, talk about these games in the way they should be talked about them if you're playing in them. And that is, every week is like its own deal. It's like separate from anything that came before it or anything that'll come after it. We see that every week in the NFL. Things are just about the matchup and about that particular day. But with respect to, you know, the first five games of the season, a four-game winning streak, offensively what they had been through five games, defensively what they had not been through five games, I thought from our standpoint, from a fan standpoint, that we would be able to measure a little bit about the team up against Baltimore in that environment. And look, bottom line is, even though they lost the game, offensively, they measured up very well. They played about as well as you could play in that environment offensively, and the offense gave the team a chance to win for a fifth straight game. You know, the offense had been the catalyst for the four-game winning streak, and they played well enough yesterday to win in Baltimore. Offensively, from a measuring stick game standpoint, they measured up. Defensively, not so much. You know, and let's put the the important information up front, which is they were facing a team that's going to make a lot of defenses, even good defenses, look bad. Baltimore is excellent. And Lamar Jackson, my God, is he playing at a high level. Last week, and I talked about it, that against Cincinnati, Cincinnati loaded up the box similar to what Washington did yesterday. And they said, we're going to stop the run. We want to see Lamar beat us with his arm. And he did. And Lamar can now beat you with his arm. Not that he couldn't do it before, but as a straight drop back passer. Now, a lot of play action drop back for Baltimore yesterday. But this guy is just right now feeling it. How old's Lamar right now? 28 years old? Denton, is he 27, 28?
He's 27, I think.
Okay, so, you know, this idea that the book's been written on Lamar Jackson, and look, he's going to have to clear that playoff hurdle. He's going to have to clear it. He's going to have to prove that he can get it done in the postseason, that he can strap a team to his back when they're down by a score or down by two scores and lead them to victory. That's kind of the last hurdle he needs to clear. He's a two-time MVP. This guy is great, and he is entering, for that position, his prime years of his career, literally entering those years. So, look, defensively, it was not a good day for Washington. The competition, however, was legit top tier. You know, I mentioned last week, I was still very concerned about what this team was defensively. I just wasn't buying what I saw last week against the worst offensive team in the NFL. Washington just went from the worst offensive team in the NFL to probably the best offensive team in the NFL in back-to-back weeks. I wasn't buying really what I saw in Arizona. I thought Arizona, the idea that they could, you know, move the football against anybody without their quarterback, without their 5'6" quarterback being involved in the run game, was insane to me. But for some reason, they decided not to run them against Washington. So I was concerned with what the defense was, and it was a measuring stick game from that standpoint. Could they step up? Could they compete a little bit? Could they hang in there? Could they, you know, stop a couple of possessions with the game hanging in the balance? It was a rough day defensively. Really, really rough. And I think, again, understanding the competition and understanding that you're not going to have to face that again. You're not going to have to face Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews and everything they've got offensively. Remember, the Ravens coming into the season were a bit of a question mark offensively because of the changes to the offensive line. They're just fine. Year two of Todd Monken is going pretty damn well for the Ravens. But it was not a good day, and the defense didn't measure up. And because of it, Washington's legitimate chance of kind of winning a game wasn't as legitimate as we had hoped. But to me, look, let's focus on the good news, where they did measure up. They measured up at the quarterback position. Jaden Daniels, once again, proved, convinced anybody who was watching that game and anybody that knows anything about football, fan-wise or otherwise, he proved yesterday that he is legit real. He, you know, proved it in a way yesterday that was different than the way he had proved it in the last four games or the first five overall. Because yesterday, they did it in a different way in terms of moving the football and scoring points. Now, what he is week in and week out is he is poised, he is calm, he is cool, he is in control. He seems to be, you know, understanding everything that's going on and does not really show any signs. I'm talking about the mental part of the game of being a rookie. But yesterday, he threw the ball at an extremely high level against a team that had made his offense one-dimensional, completely one-dimensional. Washington was the number three rush offense coming into the game. Yesterday, they could not run the football. Now, you might say they chose not to. That's fair. But Baltimore's defense coming in was excellent against the run. They were very weak. They were porous against the pass. I had no problem with the way Kingsbury decided to attack Baltimore. It did make them one-dimensional. And the Ravens, look, they played contain rush. So it really came down to, could this rookie quarterback, Jaden Daniels, which all the analytics people told you before the draft, yeah, doesn't process quickly, pressure to sack percentage, can't throw the ball over the field, over the middle of the field, etc. Straight drop back, pretty much the entirety of the game he had to deliver, and he did. You know, Baltimore didn't let him out of the pocket that much. You know, a couple times he got free, scrambled for a first down. But for the most part, he had to deliver on schedule, in the pocket, slinging the football to receivers. And he did it. Offensively, Washington had 9 drives in the game. This has been a theme to their season so far. Not a lot of drives per game, but high production level in each possession they have. They scored on 5 of the 9 drives, had a chance on a 6th, but the field goal at the end of the first half got blocked. And Daniels, in a one-dimensional offense, on the road, hostile environment, in a game in which really the score context meant they had to have it on a lot of those drives, especially in the second half. 24 of 35 for 269, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He took 3 sacks in the game, 38 dropbacks in that situation. That ain't bad. One of them was, you know, a scramble back to the line of scrimmage or just short of it. And there was one very important drop, which I will get to in the game take. This was absolutely, in my opinion, the way to attack Baltimore again. But Jaden still had to do it. You know, Josh Allen didn't do it, you know, on Sunday Night Football a couple of weeks back when they got absolutely run out of the building by the Ravens 35-10. Dak Prescott, I mean, against the Ravens in week 3 when they were both, you know, sitting there in need of a win. Dak Prescott, let's face it, he did nothing for 3 quarters, and then when Baltimore took their foot off the pedal in the 4th quarter, he got a little bit hot. Jaden Daniels is in complete control. Look, there's some real benefit that Cliff Kingsbury as his offensive coordinator is providing. There's no doubt about it, but this guy sees it. He has studied for it. He processes quickly once the ball is snapped, and once the ball is snapped, he almost always delivers it to the right spot on time, accurately. There is a play at the end of the first half that I'm going to get into during my game take, which was high level, next level quarterback IQ stuff. I'll get to that in the next segment. He did something on the final drive of the first half that you just don't expect a guy with his experience coming in 5 NFL games to really understand. A lot of veteran quarterbacks don't understand it. He did his part yesterday. They had 0 chance without him. In fact, let's be honest, they have 0 chance without him every week. He is right now, what's the saying, the stir that draws the proverbial drink. He kept them in the game. Look, the other players on offense, Terry McLaurin may have had one of his better games as a Washington football team player. God, he was good yesterday. And there were others offensively that were good. And the coordinator was good. But, you know, on a day in which the matchup featured a two-time MVP and a quarterback that's gotten more attention than any other that isn't, you know, that's in terms of rookie quarterbacks, if not all of the veteran quarterbacks as well, coming into the game, that matchup showed a guy that's headed towards a third MVP and a guy that's not that far behind him in his rookie season. He's just not playing Jaden on a team as good as Baltimore right now. Six games into his rookie year, I am pretty much sold. Now, you know, I think most of you know that I was sold before the season began, but he has exceeded all expectations. I was hopeful. Many of you were hopeful. Denton was hopeful based on what we had seen in college, that he had a lot of stuff that was translatable to the way the game is played today, and that he could be ready to perform at, you know, a high level earlier than later, but not at this level. Too bad yesterday they couldn't just get something from the defense. You know, something. After that interception early. Something after that one punt that they forced early. Because they would have had a chance, a legit chance, to win the game. Look, I don't want to hear about the officiating. I mean, God. I mean, seriously. They gave up 484 yards on nine drives. They gave up 7.5 yards per play. Please. Okay, there were a couple of calls that didn't go Washington's way. I'll get to some of those. But they didn't lose this game because of officiating. That's silly. Again, you know, the battle all year long for this team has been kind of set, right? I mean, there is a more, there's a clearer picture that's, you know, developed here through six games. And yesterday it was really kind of brought into focus a little bit. The NFL changes. We understand that. There's a lot of change week to week, and matchups mean everything, etc. But this is a team through six games, more than a third of the season, that will be led by its high-level quarterback, who gives them week in and week out a chance to win games. However, they're going to have to be really good. There is not much room at all for, you know, error margin, because they are very limited by a defense that just doesn't have enough right now. You know, look, we expected this roster in 2024 to be deficient in some areas. You know, we weren't sure exactly where they would be. Would it be the offensive line? We were pretty sure it would be in the secondary, certainly a corner. That has definitely come to fruition. They struggle at corner. And let me just mention this one thing. Forbes was inactive yesterday, and I get it. There's an issue, clearly, and Davis was inactive. And, yeah, I know they were picked by Ron Rivera in the first round. Thank you, Riverboat Ron. But Forbes is the one corner that can run. Like, as I was watching the game yesterday, and I'm watching Zay Flowers just absolutely torch anybody that was covering him in the first half, yesterday actually was a game in which I thought maybe it was because, yeah, he's not going to tackle. I don't know what it is, but he's the one corner that can run. Denton, look up his time, his combine time. Did he run sub 4.4? He's got to be the only sub 4.4 guy they have on defense, right? I think he is.
Yeah, he ran a 4.35.
4.35. Like, when you've got a guy like Zay Flowers out there, and you know you're going to be loading the box and you're going to be in man coverage more than you've typically been in it, you got to have guys that can run on the field. So I guess, look, they're down on him, clearly, right now. But the one thing he does is run. He can actually, chase him around. They're led by a high-level quarterback right now, super high-level quarterback in an offense each week that's going to give us a chance, and it's going to make these final 11 regular season games a lot of fun to watch. Not just fun, but, you know, it's going to give us, you know, hope that they can win more games than they lose, and they can win maybe a division that's falling apart around them. But they've got a defense that can't bang it out with the better offensive teams. That's clear. You know, they're a year or two, you know, maybe hopefully a year away from adding the kind of talent that they can, you know, compete with the better offensive teams defensively. They'll do fine against the Arizonas and Clevelands and maybe Carolinas and Giants, you know, with the Giants being limited offensively. But the teams that, you know, they're going to have to likely play if they're going to, you know, do something if they get there, you know, I'm they're becoming a favorite to get there. Long way. You know, 11 games left. They're going to play them anyway. Understood. But, you know, they can't hold up defensively against teams like Detroit and San Francisco. No chance. Or Green Bay. You know, in the NFC. Just thinking, you know, about down the road. Long way to go. Okay? I don't want to put cart before horse. And look, they can still get better. They've got young players who are still trying to figure it out, guys like Newton and Sanders still, for starters. But for now, this is a team, and the pictures become very clear. The hopes for a playoff type of season rest on the broad shoulders of their rookie quarterback, and he is clearly up to handling that weight. 4-2, as I mentioned, with, you know, one of the losses to an AFC Super Bowl contender. They've got the Panthers coming into town at 1-5. They got blown out at home by the Falcons, who are rolling. But Washington Denton is an 8.5-point favorite Sunday. This is, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday about this when I first saw this line come out. I did a quick back of the, you know, quick research on, because I felt like this may be the largest favorite they've been in a long time. I could have missed something, but I think it's the largest they've been favored by since 2017. It's been 7 years since they've been this big of a favorite. You know, even with some of the teams, let's say in 2018 or in 2021 when they were rolling and won four games in a row, or 2022 when they were 7-5, it's really hard to be a big favorite in the NFL without a quarterback. And they haven't had one, and now they do. Yeah, they were a 12-point favorite in October of 2017 against Kyle Shanahan's 49ers in his first year of coaching the Niners. They only won that game by 2 points. But that was the last time that they were, you know, where they are now at 8.5, you know, more than 7 or 7.5-point favorites. Carolina, I'm just going to give you fair warning. Hubbard can run the football. Dalton's a veteran quarterback that can make plays. And they're probably looking at Washington defensively saying, we can definitely move the football and score in this game. Of course, their issue will be, like with every team that faces Washington, how do we deal with number 5? All right, let me get to the game take. What I liked, what I didn't like, and a lot more. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Yeah.
Kevin's Take. The good, the bad, and the ugly from yesterday's Washington Commanders game.
Let's go! Let's go!
Here's Kevin.
He blitzes, you throw it here. If he pops up, give it to him.
Here it is. To the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown. The timing was to perfection. McLaurin with the grab.
I mean, what a catch by Terry McLaurin. That was the fourth and goal in the fourth quarter with just over 12 minutes to go that made it 27-20. It's a great throw. The play, and I'm going to get into it in a moment, was an interesting one, but wow. Just some real incredible plays made by quarterback and Terry McLaurin in particular. Noah Brown was outstanding in this game, I thought, too. We'll get to it here in a moment. Washington loses yesterday 30-23 in Baltimore. They fall to 4-2 on the season. They've got the Panthers coming up, followed by the Chicago Bears, where Caleb Williams is really starting to play well. They didn't play a good team in Jacksonville, but they routed them in London, and the Bears are 4-2. You think the game yesterday was hyped? What if Chicago and Washington? Actually, is Chicago going to be coming in off of bye week, Denton? I think they will, right? Usually after London, you get a bye week. Yeah, they get the bye week coming in after London. So if Washington can, I hate to say, take care of business, because it's been a long time since we could say they got to take care of business, but against one of the worst teams in the NFL, capable offensively, I think, the Panthers are. That one will be hyped. 1 o'clock, October 27th. That is not, I don't think, going to be a flexible game. You know, I've said this before, but that particular week is San Francisco and Dallas in the Sunday night game. Now, the Cowboys legitimately stink right now. Yesterday was, I mean, the rubbing it in by the Lions yesterday, we will get to that when we go around the league. That was all-time stuff. I mean, they were trying to score 100 in the game and do it in ways which were just, you know, emasculating of the Cowboy defense. But the Cowboys have a bye week, and then they get the 49ers. They're not moving that Sunday night game, right, Denton? No way for Chicago, Washington. No way are you moving 49ers, Cowboys from Sunday night football. Both of those teams would have to be horrible to move that kind of star power and marquee team power out of that spot. All right, let's get to the game take. What I liked, what I didn't like, and a few other things that don't necessarily fit into either one of those two categories. Well, we're going to start with the quarterback. That's number one on the list of things that I liked. As mentioned, you know, they don't have a legitimate chance to win games without the way he's played. You know, we saw last year just how bad it is when you don't have a quarterback, and the year before, they have one. Rejoice. You know, going into this season, you know, once the season starts, let's try to get to the playoffs. Let's go for it. But what did we want? You know, worst case was to get to the end of the season. And if you weren't in the postseason playing for high stakes, did we get it right at the quarterback slot? Yeah, just knock on wood, he stays healthy. That's the key. 24 of 35, 269 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Let me go through the plays that I like the most. Third drive, third and five, gets bumped around, roughed around in the pocket. He comes out of it, runs for 6 yards, gets out of bounds, moves the sticks. Fourth drive of the first half, they're down 10-3. They've got to answer on this drive. Like, if you're going to hang in with Baltimore knowing how explosive and how good they are on offense, you can't go down two scores in the first half. So they got to answer. And there's a first and 10, and he rolls right and then throws back across to Noah Brown. Good scheming up there's a lot of scheming up of some open receivers, especially in the play action game, I've noticed. You know, a lot of the play action stuff, it just seems like Cliff knows how to get people open. They needed that tone setter for that drive, 15 yards to Noah Brown. And on that play, Kyle Hamilton is bearing down on Jaden. That's got to be a penalty, man. That gets flagged 80% of the time in this league. It was a vicious hit. It was a tad late. Was it helmet to helmet? I don't know if it was, but we've seen so much less flagged in this league. This guy may not be a protectable quarterback at this point in terms of the perception of him. He'll get there, but that should have been an added 15 yards. They ended up scoring on that drive because on third and six on that drive, you know, back to throw, straight drop back, right? Look, young quarterbacks, are they advanced enough as rookies, as young quarterbacks, to on third and medium or third and long be in pure drop back mode, you know, without play action, without, you know, gimmicks, without, you know, quick screens, and hang in that pocket and deliver a first down throw? He hit that back step. That ball is out to Terry, who is covered well. Ball is low. It's to the outside. Terry made a phenomenal catch. First down. Next play on that drive. Okay, we're in the fourth drive, the drive in which they're down 10-3. It's first and 10, and they call a flea flicker. First of all, I love the fact that it's a flea flicker for a quick short throw to Eckler, not a deep shot. And the pitch back to Jaden from McNichols is not good. It's errant. Yeah, no worries. This dude is a athlete. He's got great hands. I mean, just kind of tips the ball to himself and in one motion, after getting control of it, just drops it to Eckler right in front of him, and Eckler runs for 25 yards. Few plays later, he hits McCaffrey on a really good low slant. He throws that slant when he hits that back foot. It's out quickly. It's such a flick of the wrist. It's whippy as you know, his quarterback guru out in Southern California told us when he was on the air with us about a week and a half ago. It's just perfect. You know, there's a false start, and then they've got the second and goal, and then the touchdown pass to Terry McLaurin. You know, he first looks at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is running one of those, you know, in and then quick out routes. It's covered well. He's got to move off him, and he comes back to Terry, and he puts the ball over Marcus Williams's back to the only spot that Terry's got a chance to catch it and get both feet down. Both of those guys on that play, Jaden and Terry McLaurin, what a chemistry they are starting to develop with one another. Great throw, another great catch by Terry. Fifth drive, end of the first half. There's a first and 10 on their first play of that drive after the Ravens had taken a 17-10 lead, 53 seconds left. There is immediate pressure, and it's A-gap pressure. And he slips it, and he scrambles for 9 yards, and he goes into that slide about a yard short of the first down. Then the next play, with the clock running, he throws to Noah Brown on the sideline for 11 yards. It was a second and one play. The ball goes to midfield. That's a throw where it's got to be almost exactly where it was. It stays out of harm's way. You get an opportunity to get a catch and get out of bounds. They had one time out there, more on that coming out. It was a great catch by Noah Brown, who also had an outstanding day, I thought. They ruled him in bounds. I actually thought it was kind of close there. And I'll get to the timeout that I think should have been taken right there that wasn't when I get to the things that I didn't like list. But it's the next play that is just, you just have to be like, wow, this guy is not only so gifted, he is super high IQ in terms of score, clock, game management. The clock's running, all right? 20 seconds left. He has nothing downfield. They do have a timeout left, okay, but he doesn't want to burn it. He looks to the check down. It's Eckler. If he throws it to him, Eckler's going to get hit after maybe a yard or two. And he basically grounds the ball, throws it right at his feet. Incomplete, stops the clock. That is super high-level, high-IQ quarterback management. That is a moment where I wrote down, wow, this guy has everything in his repertoire. He's got the athleticism. He's got the arm. He's got the processing. He's got the accuracy. He's got the playmaking off schedule thing. And by the way, he's a really high IQ quarterback. That was crucial, you know? Now, they ended up not using that last time out. More on that coming up. He had two good throws to Zacchaeus on the sideline. One got out of bounds. Zacchaeus did a nice job of slipping a tackle. And then the kicker came out and had a field goal blocked at the end of the half. Second half for Jaden. First drive, there's a second and 10. Really good design. But he is so perfectly on time. Reads it out perfectly. The ball is there to Noah Brown over the middle of the field for 28 yards. The middle of the field. Remember all the middle of the field talk with him? Couldn't do it. Second drive of the second half, they're down 20-13. He hits Ertz on a first and 10 play action for 21 yards. Third drive versus the blitz, Roquan Smith right in his face, and he delivers a second and 5 throw to Ertz for 24 yards. Same drive, it's third and 10. All right, again, the best quarterbacks over a long period of time have to eventually, after all of the orientation is used up, you got to sit in the pocket on third and medium, third and long, and make a throw under pressure. Third and 10, pure drop back, some pressure in the pocket. It's a quick release, perfection to Ertz over the middle down to the 1 yard line. That sets up, you know, the several plays which led to the fourth down and go for it situation. Had to. They were down 27-13. And look, that touchdown pass, I mean, the Ravens played it well. The coverage was great. I thought the play, and I could be wrong about this, but it looks like they're trying to bait the corner into a fade to the deep corner of the end zone. Because let me just tell you, Jaden never comes off Terry from the snap. He's going to Terry. All right, but Terry doesn't run a corner fade. He stops and makes it a back shoulder throw. They clearly, this is what they wanted to do. Jaden actually had to double pump the throw. Now, I don't know if the first pump, I don't think it was. It may have been a first pump to say, here comes the corner fade. But the corner didn't bite on the corner fade. And the throw had to be perfect. And it was, and then the receiver, number 17, Terry McLaurin, makes a phenomenal catch. Inbounds, touchdown. It is 27-20, and you got a shot if you can just get a stop. Of course, that was the issue all day. Fourth and final drive for Jaden Daniels. There's a first and 10 play action over the middle to Terry. It's max protect. It's covered pretty well, but he's got to throw it right into a hole. He does it for 14 yards. Again, you know, over the middle of the field. Again, this is what he did do when they needed it. They just didn't need it a lot at LSU last year. They had receivers that won so easily and won deep. And their first and second down offense was so lethal. Like I said, all offseason leading up to the draft, LSU had the fewest third downs of any team last year in college football, and it wasn't even close. And when do you see a lot of the over-the-middle-of-the-field throws typically? You see them on first and 10 play action, but you run the ball a lot on first and 10. Third down and medium, third down and long. They just didn't have a lot of those situations last year at LSU, which was why there wasn't like this, you know, overflow of over-the-middle throws. But when he needed to do it, he did it, and he's doing it this year. There's the 4th and 12, the deep shot to Noah Brown. This is when they're down 30-20. They got to get a field goal minimum to keep the game alive. You know, that defensive pass interference, I think it was the right call, you know. I've seen plays where that's not called, but more often than not, that's called. But if you weren't paying attention to anything but the flag, the throw was incredible. He almost caught it. He could have caught it. Just so many. Like, every one of these games, there are, like, just so many moments you're just like, wow, he's only a rookie. But the play at the end of the first half, to have that kind of, you know, football smarts in the moment is really, really encouraging. Couple of plays not so good in the game. That first drive of the game, I have not looked at it on the All-22. I will after the show. This is going to be an interesting one for me because he takes that sack on the opening drive, third and seven. I think Terry's open in the end zone, and I'm surprised that he didn't throw it to him. Now, there's a safety, and perhaps the safety was shading. Perhaps he was concerned, but the TV coverage didn't really show it. I thought CBS's coverage was horrible. More on that coming up. But that I think, looks like a miss, maybe. The second drive of the second half, when they're down 20-13 at midfield, they needed to turn that drive into points. He's got a third and six where this was after the play where he had the ball batted down. There's a four-man rush. There's a stunt with Ngakoue just absolutely slipping past Brandon Coleman, who obviously was confused with the stunt, and he quickly and almost immediately flushes Jaden out of the pocket to the right, and he throws the ball downfield and misses Noah Brown high and missed him by a lot. Number 29 for the Ravens dropped an interception. So that was not the best of throws. Look, there's probably another one or two misses on the day, but they weren't obvious. I gave Jaden Daniels another A. I mean, like, at this point, he doesn't need to come to class the rest of the year, and he's probably got an A. But he's going to show up anyway. Also on the things that I liked list, just the pass catchers overall on the day, but specifically Terry McLaurin, Noah Brown. And Zacchaeus had a big drop, which I will get to, but I still thought he was pretty good on the day, especially at the end of the first half. He also had a good punt return. But I thought this was one of Terry McLaurin's best games. I mean, the numbers don't say that. Six catches, 53 yards on seven targets, two touchdowns. But he just has now some chemistry developing with the quarterback. And he's an excellent contested catch receiver. We've known that for a while. And there were some big-time throws, but some big-time catches on throws that were made to areas in which, hey, I got to throw it there, because that's where it needs to be thrown, and you're going to have to make a big-time catch. And he did over and over again. Terry was excellent on the day yesterday. I thought Noah Brown was excellent, too. Boy, there's some chemistry developing between Jaden and Noah Brown. I'd love to see the separation numbers for their receivers, because I think Noah Brown gets a lot of separation compared to the others. I could be wrong. I think McCaffrey does, too. But Noah Brown, four catches, 58 yards. Zacchaeus, you know, did a nice job at the end of the first half, had a punt return for 10 yards. Eckler and Ertz as pass catchers, just an excellent day for the pass catchers overall. But specifically from my standpoint, number 17 and number 85, Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown, I thought were really outstanding on a day where they had to be. Because some of those catches, you know, if Terry doesn't make the catch, get the feet down, it's potential field goal there. Fourth and goal, it's no points. There's a first down throw on that third and six where he goes low and makes the catch for the first down. He has really benefited. You know, we've talked about Terry for years now. What would he be like with a really good quarterback? We're seeing it. Now, again, is he elite level? Is he Ja'Marr Chase? Is he Justin Jefferson? No. He's a really good receiver, though, and he is a number one receiver, certainly for this team. Number three on the list of things that I liked, Kingsbury's offense. I mean, there's just a lot to it right now. The number one thing is that, you know, if you just go on results, you know, Washington's near the top of the league in points per drive. You know, they're one of the highest scoring, well, they were the highest scoring team in the league coming in. They are just so productive over and over again. And he's done it in multiple ways, right? They have been, you know, a team that's gotten it done on the ground. They've been a team that's now gotten it done through the air. They get people open, you know, especially in their play action game in particular. You know, their play action game from pistol or from under the center or even from shotgun, I think better from under center in the pistol. But there seem like when they go play action on first and 10 or second and, you know, five, doesn't it seem like there's pretty good chance somebody's going to be wide open? Their up-tempo is really interesting, but it's interesting because they mix it with kind of mid-tempo and some huddle-up. I love some of the formations. I love that offset eye formation that they do a number of things from. The quarterback's part of the run game. They've got quick game. They take medium shots. They take deep shots. They're very good right now in play action. I thought they were yesterday. It's just everything they seem to be doing with the offensive coordinator. I mean, it certainly helps when you got a quarterback, not just a quarterback capable of doing everything that you're asking him to do, but a quarterback that's really kind of ahead of it processing-wise and, you know, clearly preparation-wise, you know. Other things on the list of things that I liked. So the defense will be number one on the list of things that I did not like from the game. But there were a couple of players, I guess, that I thought stood out a little bit. You know, number one would be probably Fowler. Number two would be Sanristil. Sanristil had the interception. It was off of a deflection. It was the only bad throw I think Lamar made all day. But it was a really good play and a good return. I thought Baptiste played well when he was in there. He stood out to me. But really not much more. Look, 54, Wagner. He's going to be a baller every Sunday, and when you compare him to the rest, but it just wasn't a good day for the defense. Again, you know, I'll emphasize, against a team that's going to make a lot of teams defensively look bad. How about Austin Seibert? You know, he had the one at the end of the first half blocked, but a 55-yarder, the longest of his career. He's been really, really effective. And let me just mention something. I talked about how a couple of weeks ago, Washington seems to be one of the few teams that is not really worried about kick coverage. And in fact, they are second in the league with the in the least amount of touchbacks. They are intentionally trying to kick the ball and go down and cover the play. This is what they think they can do and do well. And when you got guys like Reeves and Ballore and a couple of the others, it'll work out. You know, I'm looking for average starting field position. Washington won the average starting field position battle yesterday. You know, that'll be a tell the truth Monday category for Dan Quinn today. I just think it's interesting that they are one of the teams that's chosen to use this new kickoff rule. And Seibert does a nice job of angling it and getting it into that landing zone. All right, that's it. I think for now, from the list of things that I liked, I'll give you what I didn't like next. Kevin Sheehan, show the Team 980 and the team980.com.
Not a great day Sunday for the Commanders in Baltimore. They fall to the Ravens 30-23 to drop to 4-2 on the season. Jaden Daniels, 24-35, 269 yards and two touchdowns. Terry McLaurin caught both of those touchdowns. He had six catches for 53 yards. Zach Ertz led the team in receiving, four receptions for 68 yards. The team ran for just 58 yards on 18 carries. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Bengals beat the Giants 17-7 on Sunday Night Football. The Lions steamroll the Cowboys 47-9. A scary moment in that game. Aiden Hutchinson fractured his tibia and fibula. He had emergency surgery, and the team announced this morning that the surgery was successful. So that's positive news. They didn't say he'll miss the rest of the season, though it's probably likely. They did not give any sort of official timetable for his return. And the final game in the NFC East, Philadelphia beats Cleveland 20-16. To celebrate Nick Sirianni shaving his head. He was still being a bit of a clown show on the sideline. Washington sits alone atop the NFC East standings. In Major League Baseball, Game 1 of the NLCS, the Dodgers smashed the Mets 9-0. Mookie Betts drove in three for the Dodgers. And that's what's trending.
That's the challenge for Washington today.
It's combustible is what it is. There's a pass, and look out. Here he goes. It's Zay Flowers down the sideline and all the way to the Washington 20-yard line.
Isaiah Likely helped throw a key block on that one as they take it 46 yards, Jackson to Flowers.
Yeah, that was a quick screen, but the worst were just the plays in which Zay Flowers just wide open. If you're going to play eight in the box and man coverage behind it, you've got to have guys back there that can run. More on that coming up. The list of things that I did not like from the game after the list of things that I liked started with Jaden Daniels, another A performance from my standpoint. The wide receivers, Terry and Noah Brown in particular. I just love what Cliff's doing offensively. Defensively, there wasn't much, but I thought Fowler Jr., I mean, he did have multiple sacks. I thought Baptiste played okay. Sanra still was okay. Wagner okay, but not good enough. And then Seibert, you know, a 55-yard field goal, the longest of his career. All right. What I didn't like, we start with number one by far and away, the defense. It's just not good enough. But, again, you know, this was Baltimore. This was the number one offense in the league. And, God, they are so much more versatile because Lamar's playing at an insane level. And he's playing at an insane level right now because he's outstanding from the pocket. You saw it last week against Cincinnati. Cincinnati did a lot of the same stuff, loaded up the box and said, you're not going to just gash us down the field 6 yards at a carry, 5 yards a carry. And you know, they couldn't stop Lamar. The play action game, the drop back game, none of it. Look, you know, it was such an obvious thing Washington did. I'm sure that there were possessions that they didn't have eight in the box, but it seemed like eight in the box in the first half and Baltimore threw over it. Eight in the box at times in the second half. There were some too high there in the second half as well with, you know, seven in the box. But then they went to like this pitch sweep game with Derrick Henry and they got him outside and he rushed for 94 yards in the second half, a buck 32 for the game. Baltimore just, you know, owned the line of scrimmage. They owned the back end against Washington, who just, they didn't have anybody that could run with Zay Flowers in the first half. By the way, Zay Flowers did not catch a ball in the second half after going 9 for 132 in the first half. Baltimore had 484 yards of offense on just 9 possessions. They were 6 of 10 on third down. They dominated time of possession, 36 minutes, 8 seconds to 23 minutes, 52 seconds. First half, again, 8 in the box, single high. Fine, we'll throw over it. Second half, even when there was 8 in the box, they decided to sweep it, whether it was primarily on that pitch sweep, and seal the edge so that Henry ran wild. They averaged 7.4 yards per play. Washington couldn't cover. When they did, they got penalized. St. Juice, two, you know, DPIs on third downs, on touchdown drives. They couldn't stop the run in the second half. They got some pressure here and there, but not enough. You know, Baltimore had an interception basically in the red zone or just approaching the red zone, right? Was it a red zone interception or not? I forget. And then they punted on their third drive. After they punted at the end of the first quarter, and that was because of the Fowler sack on third down, they did not give the ball back to Washington via the punt or a turnover. They had 5 straight scoring drives, and then they had a drive to run out the clock at the end of the game. They basically scored on 6 of their 8 legitimate drives. On their 9th, they just ran out the clock. They were 3 for 4 in the red zone. Washington needed a better day defensively in the red zone. A couple of those Derrick Henry touchdown runs were a bit embarrassing, to be honest with you. It seemed like there were some conscientious objectors defensively. Again, this is arguably the best offensive team in the NFL that they faced, and they're not going to have to face those guys again. Just to reiterate, I know that Jamin Davis and Emmanuel Forbes were inactive for the game. Both of those players do one thing better than anything else that they do. They can run. And I thought, in particular, this would have been a better game for Forbes to play in. If you're going to play man coverage and you have a quick receiver in Zay Flowers, not a big one, he's gotten torched by big receivers. He's the one corner that can run on your team. But obviously, this is not working for whatever reason. And they know obviously so much more than we do. Also on the list of things that I didn't like, you know, they're going to have to become a team of takeaways. They got one yesterday. It was off a bad throw by Lamar that got deflected. Good play by San Ristol. Good return. But they're going to have to become a takeaway team to offset the way they are getting absolutely torched by better offensive teams. Because, like, here's the perfect example. 1983, Washington had the best offense the league had seen in years. They were not a good defensive team when it came to stopping teams. They gave up a lot of yards, a lot of points, but they got takeaways. And they ended up plus 42 in the turnover margin, all-time record. Witt Jr., the reason I'm bringing it up is because Quinn and Witt Jr., this is what they were good at in Dallas. They really need it with this defense. That will give them a legit chance to be much better than they are even at 4-2. But they are second to last right now in total takeaways on the season. That was their first interception of the season yesterday. They've got to figure out a way to take possessions back and steal possessions. They got one in the first quarter. They did. It's still not enough, not against a team like that. I'm going to save the list of things that I didn't like for the other side of the break because it requires, you know, a little bit of imagination and stretch of the imagination. But I'm going to go with it anyway. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.